Welcome back to Science TLDR.
Glad to be back.
Today we're diving deep into a Nature paper.
Ooh, Nature.
Yeah. It's titled Probiotic Neoantigen Delivery Vectors for Precision Cancer Immunotherapy.
Okay.
It really caught my eye last week. It's a pretty dense one, but the potential implications are huge, I say.
Absolutely. This research is really diving into this exciting realm of personalized cancer vaccines.
Yeah.
And it's using a rather unconventional approach, using genetically engineered bacteria.
Right. We're talking about neoantigens here.
Yeah.
And, you know, for our listeners who might not be as familiar,
yeah.
These are those mutated protein fragments.
Right.
That are unique to individual tumors.
Exactly.
Which is why it makes them such ideal targets for immunotherapy, right?
Exactly. Targeting neoantigens allows for this highly specific immune response.
Uh-huh.
So theoretically, you minimize the risk of off-target effects.
Right.
And autoimmunity, which are always concerns with broader immunotherapy approaches. The challenge, however, lies in effectively delivering these neoantigens to the immune system.
And that is where these engineered bacteria come in.
Yes.
So the researchers utilize this common probiotic strain,
right.
E. coli Nissl 1917.
Okay.
And they essentially turn it into a neoantigen factory.
Yes.
Within the tumor microenvironment.
It's fascinating because they didn't just, you know, insert the neoantigen genes into the bacteria.
Right.
And hope for the best.
Yeah.
They went through this systematic optimization process to maximize both neoantigen production.
Right.
And delivery.
I was particularly interested in their approach to boosting neoantigen production within the bacteria.
Okay.
They found that the initial expression levels were quite low.
Right.
Which is a common hurdle in bioengineering, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So how did they address that?
So they tackled this issue with a really clever genetic modification.
Uh-huh.
By incorporating these 5-mer glycine serine linkers
okay.
between the neoantigen peptides within the bacteria,
right.
They managed to increase neoantigen production sixfold.
A sixfold increase?
Yeah.
That's a significant improvement.
It is.
It really highlights the importance of fine-tuning these systems.
Yes.
At a molecular level.
For sure.
But enhanced production is only half the battle.
Right.
They also had to optimize the bacteria for efficient delivery.
Indeed. Think of it as engineering this microscopic delivery system.
Okay.
First, they remove unnecessary genetic elements from the bacteria.
Huh?
Things like cryptic plasmids and certain proteases.
Right.
This streamlining helped to boost neoantigen accumulation.
So they essentially decluttered the bacteria's genetic code to make it a more efficient neoantigen-producing machine.
Exactly.
Okay, so what else did they do to enhance delivery?
Well, they focused on making the bacteria more susceptible to phagocytosis.
Okay.
The process by which immune cells engulf and process antigens.
Right.
By enhancing phagocytosis, they increase the likelihood of these neoantigens being presented to T cells.
It's like making the bacteria more appealing to the immune system surveillance team.
Exactly. Yeah.
But even after being engulfed, the neoantigens still need to reach the right compartment within the immune cells for optimal T cell activation.
You're absolutely right.
Correct.
So to address this, they engineered the bacteria to express Listeria lysin O,
okay.
Or LLO.
Okay.
This protein forms pores in cellular membranes,
mm-hmm.
allowing the neoantigens to escape from the phagosome into the cytoplasm.
Clever.
Yes.
By escaping the phagosome,
right.
The neoantigens can be processed and presented on MHC class I molecules.
Exactly.
Which is essential for activating CD8 plus T cells.
Yes.
The cytotoxic assassins of the immune system.
Precisely. And this escape into the cytoplasm also seems to promote a Th1 biased immune response,
okay.
Which is generally associated with stronger anti-tumor immunity.
Okay, so they've engineered these bacteria to be super efficient neoantigen producers and delivery vehicles.
Yes.
But I imagine safety is a major concern.
Of course.
When you're talking about injecting live bacteria into a living organism.
Absolutely.
So how do they address that?
Safety is paramount, of course.
Yeah.
The researchers took several steps to mitigate potential risks.
Uh-huh.
They engineered the bacteria to be more susceptible to clearance from the bloodstream,
okay.
Reducing the chance of persistent infection.
Right.
They also limited the bacteria's ability to form biofilms,
right.
Which can further complicate things.
So they essentially built in safety mechanisms.
Yes.
Limiting the bacteria's ability to survive outside the tumor microenvironment.
Right.
The delicate balance between maximizing efficacy.
Yes.
and ensuring safety.
Absolutely.
Did they test the system in vivo?
They did. They tested the engineered bacteria in mouse models of both colorectal cancer and melanoma.
Okay.
Two very aggressive and challenging cancer types.
Let's dive into those results. What do they observe in the colorectal cancer model?
So they used the CT26 cell line.
Okay.
A commonly used model for colorectal cancer research.
Uh-huh.
They engineered the bacteria to express a cocktail of 19 neoantigens specific to this tumor type, which they termed NAG19.
Okay. And how did they administer this NAG19 bacterial vaccine?
They tested both intratumoral injection, where the bacteria are delivered directly into the tumor, and intravenous injection, where the bacteria circulate systemically.
What were the outcomes of these different delivery methods?
Both intratumoral and intravenous administration of the NAG19 vaccine led to significant tumor control.
Okay.
In fact, with the intratumoral injections, they observed complete tumor regression in some cases.
Complete regression.
Yeah.
That's remarkable, especially in such a, you know, notoriously difficult to treat cancer like colorectal cancer.
Okay.
But, of course, we have to keep in mind these are mouse models.
Absolutely. While these preclinical results are exciting, there's a long way to go before we can translate these findings to human clinical trials.
Right.
Nonetheless, the data are encouraging.
Yeah.
They also compared the bacterial vaccine to a traditional synthetic long peptide SLP vaccine.
Right.
A more established method of neoantigen delivery.
That's important comparison.
Yes.
How did the bacterial vaccine stack up against the SLP vaccine?
The bacterial vaccine consistently outperformed the SLP vaccine in terms of tumor control and survival.
Interesting.
This suggests that the continuous in situ production of neoantigens within the tumor microenvironment, as opposed to a single bolus injection, provides a significant advantage.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That a constant supply of neoantigens would keep the immune system primed and engaged.
Right.
Did they delve deeper into the mechanisms behind this enhanced anti-tumor response?
They did. Their analysis of the tumor microenvironment revealed fascinating insights into how this bacterial vaccine orchestrates such a potent immune response.
Okay.
First, they observed that intravenously administered bacteria exhibited remarkable tumor specificity, colonizing tumors at high densities while being rapidly cleared from other organs.
So these engineered bacteria act like homing missiles.
Yes.
Selectively targeting the tumor while minimizing off-target effects.
Exactly.
That's critical for safety and minimizing, you know, potential side effects.
For sure.
So what happened within the tumor microenvironment itself?
The bacterial vaccine induced this dramatic shift in the immune landscape within the tumors.
Right.
They observed a significant increase in the recruitment and activation of dendritic cells.
Okay.
The key antigen-presenting cells responsible for initiating T cell responses.
So the bacteria are essentially boosting the number of sentinels within the tumor, increasing the chances of neoantigen recognition and presentation.
Right. And not only were there more dendritic cells, but they also displayed higher expression levels of co-stimulatory molecules, like CD80 and CD86, indicating a heightened state of activation.
So this suggests that the dendritic cells are not only more abundant, but also more efficient at priming T cells against the tumor.
Exactly.
Did they observe changes in the T cell populations themselves?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
The vaccine led to a robust expansion and activation of both CD4 plus and CD8 plus T cells specific to the encoded neoantigens.
Okay.
They found increased numbers of these T cells infiltrating the tumors.
Uh-huh.
And these T cells exhibited markers of activation, such as CD69 expression, and produced elevated levels of pro-inflammatory cytokines like IFNO and TNF.
So the vaccine effectively stimulated a potent and targeted T cell response against the tumor. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that tumors are masters of immune evasion.
Right.
Did they investigate whether this bacterial vaccine could overcome those immunosuppressive mechanisms?
They did, and the findings were quite remarkable.
Okay.
They found that the bacterial vaccine significantly reduced the number of immunosuppressive cells within the tumors, including regulatory T cells, Kregs, myeloid-derived suppressor cells, MDSCs, and tumor-associated macrophages.
TAMs.
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 That's a critical finding.
It is.
These immunosuppressive cells act like shields.
Yes.
Protecting the tumor from immune attack.
Right.
By reducing their numbers.
Yeah.
The bacterial vaccine essentially removes those shields.
Exactly.
Allowing the T cells to effectively target the tumor.
Precisely. And it didn't stop there.
Oh.
They also observed a decrease in the expression of PD-L1 on immune cells within the tumor.
Oh, wow.
PD-L1 is a key immune checkpoint molecule
right.
that tumors often exploit
to suppress T-cell activity.
Ah, so the bacterial vaccine, in a way, mimics the action of checkpoint inhibitor drugs.
Yes.
Which block the PD-1/PD-L1 pathway.
Right.
To unleash T-cell activity.
Exactly.
But instead of relying on external drugs,
yeah.
the bacteria themselves are modulating this immune checkpoint pathway
exactly.
within the tumor.
It's a fascinating example of how engineered bacteria can be used to reprogram the immune microenvironment,
yeah.
tipping the balance in favor of anti-tumor immunity.
Really interesting.
And to add another layer of complexity, they found an increase in the presence and activation of natural killer cells,
okay.
NK cells,
right.
which contribute to tumor cell destruction.
So this bacterial vaccine seems to be orchestrating a multi-pronged attack on the tumor.
Yes.
Engaging both the innate and adaptive arms of the immune system.
That's right.
What about the melanoma model?
Right.
Did they see similar results?
They did, but there are some interesting differences.
Okay, so let's move on to their work with the melanoma model.
Huh?
Did they use the same bacterial strain in engineering strategy?
They used the same E. coli Nissl 1917 strain.
Okay.
But tailored the neoantigen cocktail to the B16F10 melanoma model.
Okay.
In this case, they created a cocktail of 42 neoantigens.
Oh, okay.
Termed NAG42.
42.
Delivered by 7 different bacterial strains.
Wow.
Each carrying 6 unique neoantigens.
So a much more complex neoantigen cocktail.
Right.
For the melanoma model.
Yes.
Did they see similar outcomes in terms of tumor control?
The results were promising, right. but somewhat less dramatic than in the colorectal cancer model.
Okay.
With intratumoral injection of NAG42.
Okay.
They observed significant tumor growth suppression,
uh-huh.
but not complete regression.
Okay.
However, intravenous right. administration yielded more impressive results.
Yep.
With 72% of the treated mice surviving today, 50 post-tumor implantation.
Okay.
Compared to all control mice succumbing to the disease by day 30.
That's still a significant survival benefit.
Right.
Especially considering the aggressive nature of the B16F10 melanoma model.
Absolutely.
Did they observe similar immunological changes within the tumor microenvironment?
Yes.
Okay.
The overall pattern was remarkably consistent with the colorectal cancer model.
Okay.
Intravenous administration of NAG42 led to increased infiltration of dendritic cells,
huh?
CD4 plus and CD8 plus T cells,
okay.
and NK cells into the tumors,
right.
accompanied by a reduction in immunosuppressive cells like TREGs,
okay.
MDSCs, and TAMs.
So again, we're seeing this multifaceted immune response.
Yes.
Suggesting this bacterial vaccine platform can induce similar immunological changes across different tumor types.
Right.
Did they perform any experiments to confirm the role of T cells in mediating these anti-tumor effects?
They did.
Okay.
In the melanoma model,
yeah.
they specifically depleted either CD4 plus or CD8 plus T cells in some of the treated mice.
Okay.
Depletion of either T-cell subset completely abolished the therapeutic effect of the vaccine.
Interesting.
Confirming that both CD4 plus and CD8 plus T-cells are essential
uh-huh.
for the observed tumor control.
That's a compelling piece of evidence.
Yeah.
Reinforcing the importance of the adaptive immune response, specifically T-cells,
right.
in mediating the anti-tumor effects of this bacterial vaccine.
Exactly.
But, you know, cancer's ultimate challenge lies in its ability to spread or metastasize.
Of course.
Did they test the vaccine's efficacy against established metastases?
They did. And the results, while preliminary, are quite encouraging.
Okay.
In both the colorectal cancer and melanoma metastasis models,
uh-huh.
the bacterial vaccine significantly inhibited metastatic growth
okay.
and prolonged survival.
Right.
For the colorectal cancer model, they use a luciferase-expressing cell line,
uh-huh.
allowing them to visually track metastatic spread.
Okay.
They observed a dramatic reduction in the number and size of lung metastases
uh-huh.
in the treated mice.
So they could actually see the bacteria's impact on metastatic spread in real time.
Yes.
That's powerful visual evidence.
Absolutely.
How do they model metastasis in the melanoma model?
For the melanoma model, they used a bioluminescent melanoma cell line.
Okay.
Injected intravenously.
Right.
Allowing for systemic spread and mimicking later stage disease.
Wow.
Even in this aggressive model,
yeah,
the bacterial vaccine significantly slowed metastatic growth and extended survival.
This is groundbreaking research with potential implications for treating a wide range of cancers.
It is.
But as you mentioned earlier, these are preclinical studies.
Of course.
And there's a long road ahead.
Yes.
Before this approach reaches the clinic.
Absolutely. While these results are incredibly exciting,
yeah,
we need to be cautiously optimistic.
Right.
There are many questions that need to be addressed before we can even think about human trials.
What are some of the key challenges and considerations moving forward?
First and foremost, we need to see if these results hold up in humans.
Right.
The immune system is incredibly complex.
Yeah.
And there are significant differences between mouse and human immunology.
Right, right.
Safety is another major concern.
Yep.
While the researchers engineered these bacteria with safety mechanisms, we need to thoroughly evaluate potential risks in humans.
Sure.
And of course, there are logistical challenges.
Right.
Manufacturing personalized bacterial vaccines for each patient is a complex and potentially costly undertaking.
Those are all valid points.
Yeah.
But despite these challenges, this research opens up exciting new avenues.
Absolutely.
For cancer immunotherapy.
It's a testament to the power of synthetic biology and its potential to revolutionize medicine.
Absolutely.
If this approach proves successful in humans, it could change the way we treat cancer.
Yeah.
Empowering our own immune systems to fight this devastating disease.
So to wrap things up, what are three major takeaways from this deep dive?
First, engineered bacteria can serve as effective delivery vehicles for personalized cancer vaccines.
Okay.
Targeting tumor-specific neoantigens while minimizing off-target effects. Second, these bacterial vaccines induce a potent and multifaceted immune response, activating both the innate and adaptive arms of the immune system,
right,
while simultaneously counteracting immunosuppressive mechanisms within the tumor.
And finally.
Finally, this approach shows promise in preclinical models of both primary and metastatic tumors,
right,
suggesting potential for broader application in various cancer types,
yeah,
while much work remains to be done.
Uh-huh.
This research represents a significant step forward in the field of cancer immunotherapy.
It really does. Thanks for joining me for this deep dive.
It is my pleasure.
Until next time, stay curious.